Welcome to the radio ministry of Albertville First Baptist Church. We invite you to join us each Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB. For more information about the ministries of First Baptist Church or to listen to previously recorded messages, please visit albertvillefbc.church. If you do not have a church home, please join us for worship this Sunday at 8:30 a.m. or 10:30 a.m. We hope you are blessed by today's broadcast. God, we give you honor and glory and praise this morning, Father. All that's done here this morning, all that's spoken, all that's sung, all that's said, is to honor and glorify you. All glory be to Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Sing that with us. Should nothing of our effort stand, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise the house, in vain its builders strive. To you who boast tomorrow's gain, tell me, what is your life? A mist that vanishes at dawn. All glory be to Christ.
Sing it out.
All glory be to Christ, our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever see. All glory be to Christ.
His will be done.
His will be done. His kingdom come on earth as is above. Who is himself our daily bread? Praise him, the Lord of love. Let living water satisfy the thirsty.
I love that last verse when it talks about the fact that his rule and reign will carry on. We are waiting for the Lord's return. What if he came back today? Y'all don't seem too excited about it. What if he came back today? Are we ready for that? Now listen, friends, I have to tell you, and I shared this in the early service, I love what a pastor said a long time ago in the sermon. We can argue over how he's going to return. Will it be this way or that way and this time and in this year or the third year or the seventh year and the 1,000-year reign and all those things? But here's what you need to know. We are not on the programming committee. We are on the welcoming committee. So we've been called to welcome the Lord. So I want to invite you to welcome him here today. If he were to return today, let's sing and praise and read and love and share as if we are welcoming him to this place. If he were to wait 1,000 years, let's continue to do it today just the same. Let's pray together as we carry on. Father God, we welcome King Jesus. We welcome him to this room. We welcome him as we gather together. Father, my prayer is that every person that's here would know you as Lord and Savior. If there's one that does not know who you are and what you've done, that this would be the best start for that, that today they could find you and meet you. Father, we take a moment to thank you for Jesus, and all glory be to Christ, our King. All glory be to Christ. We want to give him the praise and glory and honor that he is due. So Father, we pray that you would do just that. Lord, we take a moment to pray for our church of the week. Today, we pray for New Heights Baptist Church here in our community, for Pastor Ken Morgan, that you'd speak through him as he brings a message. Father, that you will help that church to grow and to see others come to know you and to make a continued impact in their community. Father, we pray for some of our missionaries specifically. Lord, I take a second to pray for Ivan and Melissa Makulu, who had a real difficult week in Uganda this past week as they were robbed and went through a very difficult process with that. God, our prayer, first of all, we thank you for their safety and their protection. And God, secondly, we ask that you would continue to provide safety and protection for them. Help them as they have to process the trauma of that and all they went through. Father, we're thankful that they are willing to live in some hard and difficult places for the gospel's sake. And our prayer is that you, in protecting them, would also give them boldness to declare who you are, to live for you, to make a difference for you. We thank you for that. Father, we pray for our missionaries of the week that we're going to pray for all week, Robin and Trey Cates, serving in Vermont. Father, we're so thankful that we were supposed to have a team there this week, but We are thankful they were willing to go, but sad they were not able to go due to the extreme flooding that's happened there. So Lord, we pray as they are now in disaster relief mode and they will be doing mud outs and chainsaw work and cleanup work all throughout that central Vermont area, that you would provide the people needed, the resources needed, help Trey and Robin as they will help to coordinate a whole lot of what happens. Lord, give us an opportunity to reschedule our trip to go and make a difference there. And we're praying for the people of Vermont who have been affected by all that major flooding. So many of them don't know you. And my prayer is that one of our Southern Baptist disaster relief teams or Christian volunteers will come knocking on their door, offering help, but offering more than help, offering hope. So God, that's what we come to do today. We come to speak about your hope, to sing about your hope, to hear about your hope, and to share your hope. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Let me say and welcome those who are participating online. It's an honor to have you here. If you are with us online, if you'll take a moment to look at the number on the screen there in front of you and let us know you're there. We'd like to make a connection with you. Just follow those prompts. If you're in the room, thank you for visiting with us in the middle of July, in the middle of summer. We're so honored to have you here. We would ask you to fill out the registration and the worship guide you received when you came in, and then you can give it to me on the way out. We have a gift for you we'd like to give you, and another gift to send you in the mail. So we hope that we can do that and that you'll be here to be a part of that. I'm so thankful that you're here. I hope you're thankful to be here too. Listen, I will tell you that some days more than others, this is the word I'll use. It's a theological term. It's called spiritual funk. It's really not a theological term, but sometimes you can feel it and sense it. And I'm not saying I sense it right now, but I will tell you that there are times, even this morning, where you just feel a little bit of a heaviness. And so I found one of the greatest ways to combat that. Two things. One, focus on the Lord. Second, be an encourager and an encouragement to somebody else. So I'm going to invite you to do something that we rarely do. Maybe we've only done it once since COVID happened. And let's not talk about COVID. That was a long time ago. But maybe it's only happened once. Since then, I want to invite everybody to please stand to their feet. Come on. Now, if you're a major introvert, you're excused from this, and you won't hurt anybody's feelings not to do it. But everybody else, find 3 or 4 people. Tell them they look really nice today. and that you're glad that they're here. Come on and greet some people. Let's take time to do that.
Great hymn of praise this morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not thy compassions, they fail not. Second verse, summer and winter.
Summer and winter and springtime and harvest. Sun, moon, and stars in their courses above. Joy.
Worshiping, and this just ties in perfectly to this next song, Mighty to Save, from Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord your God is in your midst. a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will extol over you with loud singing. Our God is mighty to save. It's been a while since we've sung this together, but let's try it together as we sing, Mighty to Save.
Is worth the living because Jesus lives. We have salvation because of Jesus. We have new life because of Jesus. We have hope because of Jesus. So we celebrate the name of Jesus this morning. Thank you that we can come and gather together. And so now we ask that God, you would speak to us. We ask that the Word would become alive to us. We ask that the Holy Spirit would move in our hearts. Lord, that you would not stir us, but that you would change us. You would transform us. If there's anybody here that doesn't know you, that today they would come to know you. If there's anyone here who is hopeless this morning, that they would find hope. If they're needing help, that they would find hope and help. If they're needing healing, that they would find hope and help and healing. Father God, you are healing personified. King Jesus is hope personified. Lord, speak to us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, friends. If you have a Bible, turn to the book of Zephaniah. You may not go there every week, but it's a great book. It's short. It's only 3 chapters long, 53 verses. It's not a very long book. If you will take your Bible and go a little past halfway, you're getting in the section, getting close to finding it most likely. This is week 9 of our message series called Major in the Minors. It's a summer series, and we will be done by the time we reach the end of August. And so Major in the Minors, it's the idea of the minor prophets. And let me remind you, or if you're new with us today, tell you that the minor prophets are 12 books of the Bible. They start with Hosea and they go all the way to Micah. We have these wonderful books. We're 9 weeks in now. And as we come to this point in our study, let me say this to you. They're called minor not because it's not that important. It's not that Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel are more important. It's they're minor in that they're small. And so they're easier to read in one setting. You can sit and read any of the minor prophets in one setting. And then you can take that and you can apply it to your life. I would say that my favorites of all the minor prophets we're looking at is one that will come at the very end. And then this week and next week. Next week will be in Haggai. Let me go ahead and prepare you now. Hope I'm not throwing too much at you at once. But if you'll prepare in advance for Haggai, and the best way to do it is to read, if you'll write this down, the first 6 chapters of Ezra. If you'll read the first 6 chapters of Ezra this week, you'll be ready for Haggai next week. That's just a little side note and extra. But for today, we're going to look at Zephaniah. And Zephaniah is interesting in that it gives us a prophecy about what was happening in their day in 630 BC or so, what was going to come in 586 BC, what was going to come when Jesus came on the scene 600 years later, and what's going to come someday, what we're all waiting on when Jesus will return. Who's excited that he's coming back? All right, we practiced earlier. He is. Maybe it'll be before this message is done. I don't know. If it's going to be later today, let's all go eat something real good, okay? And we'll be excited for you. I'm excited for him to come back. So know this, though. Let me say, when we look at Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 1, you will notice something very unique about the way he starts his book. It says this, Zephaniah 1:1, the word of the Lord that came to Zephaniah, the son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah. Now, what do you notice different? Maybe nothing if you read it alone, but if you have been with us all 9 weeks, none of the minor prophets start with a genealogy. That's very unusual. It's the only place it happens, actually. And so he gives us his genealogy. Well, when you see something that stands out different from the rest, you always want to ask, why is that? And the truth is, we may not have the answer 100%, but I want to give you what would be my guess and some other people's guess about this. But I will say it's a guess. But I believe it's founded on some good principles, and that is this. You have to look at the genealogy for clues. And so it says he is the son of Cushi. Cushi is a name that would derive from the Cush people. The Cushites, very specifically, are a group of people that came from Africa. And when you read in the scripture and you see them, actually in your King James Version and a couple of others, at least twice, the Cushites, it is translated not as Cushite, but it will say Ethiopian. And so you think, okay, this is giving us a little more clue. And the idea of the word Ethiopia in the scripture would be it's the land of burnt skin. We get an understanding it's a different race. It's a different group of people. And so when he says his father was Cushi, he's giving us an indication that he does not come from a bloodline that is simply an Israelite. And he would want the Israelites who were going to hear the prophecy he was going to bring to not somehow turn him away because he maybe didn't come from a pure Israelite standing. And so he gives us this list of names, but what makes it important is because he works his way back to one name that trumps all of that, and that's Hezekiah. That's King Hezekiah, king of Judah. And so he traces his lineage back as a royal bloodline all the way back. Even though others intermarried and people from different tribes and ethnic groups came in, he's saying it goes all the way back to the king. And so he finds some credibility in his mind for the Israelites by saying, I come a descendant from Hezekiah. And so that's important because he was basically saying to them, I am a prophet who's come from God's people to speak to God's people the message that God has given him to speak. And so in a sense, he is setting the stage for what he's going to talk about. Next, you will see, if you start reading in chapters 1, 2, and the first half of chapter 3, and again, it's only three chapters, you will see that he pronounces judgment upon Jerusalem, Judah, and every nation on the planet, the entire known world at 630 BC. There were some difficult things happening, and it was tough stuff happening. So he begins to talk about how difficult it is and what's going on and what would be happening. And he mentions something called the Day of the Lord. And the Day of the Lord he refers to in two different ways. One, it was referring to the Day of God's punishment. And the Day of God's punishment, this was 630 or so B.C., was going to come at 586 B.C. when Jerusalem was taken over and destroyed. And so the day of the Lord was coming then. But then he speaks at the end of chapter 3 about the great day of the Lord, another day coming, and it references the Messiah. And then it references a time when God will make all things new that has not even happened yet. So to me, this is one of the most exciting passages in all of the scripture. But before we get to the great day of the Lord to come, let's start with what he would tell us to do today if he were alive today saying these words. I think we can apply the same principle. Zephaniah chapter 2. So things are going badly in among all the nations. People are evil. Evil is rampant. Things that are wrong are portrayed as right. Things that are evil are portrayed as good. People are taking advantage of other people. Spiritual leaders are taking advantage of other people. Political leaders are taking advantage of other people. Does that remind you of anything? Oh, today. It's the same things that happen in our world today. So it would stand to reason, whatever God tells Zephaniah to tell the people to do, that you and I could apply in our lives. So let's look at it. Zephaniah chapter 2, beginning in verse 3. He says, seek the Lord, all you humble of the land who do his just commands, seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you may be hidden on the day of the anger of the Lord. Don't miss that. Three things he tells us to do here. He tells them when things are bad around you. How about for us when things are bad around you? When you are surrounded by evil and despair, when God is not honored in people's speech, God is not honored in people's conduct or their decisions, when right is labeled as wrong or at least as incorrect, and when sin is celebrated, again, that could describe where we're living today. He tells them three things to do. Look at what it says. He says, seek God, seek righteousness, seek humility. So we will take what Zephaniah told the people of God who remained in the middle of all the judgment and the difficulty. He said, this is what you do. Seek the Lord if you are humble in the land, if you're one of God's children who do his just commands. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. Perhaps you may be hidden on the day of the anger of the Lord. So how do we seek God? Seek righteousness, seek humility. Number one, we seek God through his word. You've heard me say this. I've been your pastor now for 12 years and a few short months. And I would tell you this, that for 12 years, you've heard me say the most important thing you can do is seek God in his word. That message is not going to change. There's never going to be a Sunday we're going to ignore the Bible. There's never going to be a Sunday that we're going to minimize the scripture. It will always be most important. If you ever go to a church that doesn't use the Bible, you are not at a church. You are at something else. Go somewhere else. If you ever come to a place that minimizes the importance of the scripture and the truthfulness of the Bible, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get up and run out. Okay? Now you think I'm joking. I'm serious. Always, the Bible's most important. So seek God through his word. How do we do that? We've mentioned many times this year that if you're not reading the Bible regularly, start in a simple way. Start with the Psalms. I have been a believer now since I was 8 years old, but when I was 12 years old, me and three other friends of mine, we met with a gentleman on Tuesday mornings at 6 a.m. before school in our church fellowship hall, and he taught us how to read the Bible, how to study a little bit. He discipled us. He was an incredible youth worker, and he took care of us and did that and then got us off to school. Our parents dropped us off, and he got us to school all together. But as we sat and we read, he taught us how to read the Psalms. And we've used this same principle here this year already. So I still do it. I don't do it. I haven't done it for 40-plus years, but there are times that I'll do seasons of that. So this year is one of those seasons where every day I'm reading the Psalms. Today is July 16th. That means I'm reading Psalm 16. Whatever day of the month it is, read that psalm, then add 30. So I'm reading Psalm 16, Psalm 46, Psalm 76, Psalm 106, and Psalm 136. And through those, looking for one of those to pray, and then praying the psalm. And if you are not reading the scripture, start with the Psalms. Start there and see what God would speak to you and show you. And then at the end of 30 days, I start over. And every time I'm learning something new and fresh every single day, without fail. I promise you, if you'll open your Bible, God's mercy and God's love and God's wisdom will meet you there every day. Amen? That's the truth. So do that. Now, if you don't know the Lord and you're new to the whole church thing, I would encourage you not to start with the Psalms. I would encourage you to start with the Gospel of John. John is in what we call the New Testament. The New Testament is the last third of your Bible. The Bible's divided into the Old Testament and the New. And the New Testament starts with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. When you get to John, it is an eyewitness account of Jesus. It's an account of who he is and what he's about. And it is a wonderful account to explain that. I've shared this story before about when I was a church planter in Maine, but I want you to hear it again because it speaks such truth to me of how the Bible is so important and it is truth. I had a Bible study with two men. One was named Eric and one was named Paul. Eric had spent some time previously in organized crime, and he was a big, tough, burly guy that, I mean, you didn't want to mess with. He was the guy you wanted to take on visitation with you. And Eric was great, and so we had a great time together. The other guy, he didn't know the Lord yet. And so he wanted to get to, maybe to get to know him. So we started a Bible study, and the three of us sat there for the first time. And this is in Winthrop, Maine. We sit in this room, and I say, here's what we're going to do. We're only going to focus on the Bible. What I have to say is not really going to help you. It's the Bible. So let's read the Gospel of John. Read every word in the Gospel of John, and then we'll come back next week and talk about it. We got there the next week. Eric, did you read it? Pastor, I only got a couple of chapters. Paul, did you read it? No, I didn't have time to. I said, okay, we're done. We'll come back next Thursday. Until we get God's word first, nothing else matters. We left. Came back the next week. Eric, did you read it? I did, Pastor. I got it. Paul, did you read it? Only made it halfway. Eric gave him the look of, I'm going to kill you if you don't read the Gospel of John. And so nothing was said, but the look was given. And then so we get there the next week. We left again. The next week I come back. Eric catches me ahead of time. He says, if Paul hasn't read John, it's going to be a bad day for him. I said, now listen, that's not how this works. And so anyway, Eric read it. Paul said, I didn't get it all done. Again, he doesn't even know the Lord, but he's not finished the book yet. So we go back the next week. Eric, did you read it? Yes. Paul, he stops. He says, I'm in. So what do you mean you're in? He says, I'm in. I read it all. I got it. I know who Jesus is. I am in. He gave his life to the Lord. He didn't need me to tell him. What did he need? The Gospel of John. The Bible is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. The Bible brings life. It speaks truth. Friends, I want to encourage you, if you have somehow drifted away from consistent time with God's word, go back to it. It is life, and you can find him there. So I invite you to do so. If you need help with resources, we'll help you to know how to read it, how to understand it. We've got some things printed we can give you, so you let us know. So if you want to seek God, seek him through his word. And then to seek righteousness next, as he tells us in Zephaniah 2:3. How do we seek righteousness? Well, I want to share my conviction about this, and that is this. You cannot force other people to live righteous lives. You can't. Try it. It won't work. You cannot legislate righteousness. You cannot protest people to righteousness. But what you can do is live a righteous life yourself. Now, we need good moral laws that help people to make wise and godly choices. But the reality is, a good law will not make someone holy and righteous. Only God can do that, and then their decision to live that out. And so what we learn to do from the scripture is it tells us to seek righteousness. That does not mean seek righteousness for everybody around you and make everybody do everything you wish that you could do. Instead, it is you yourself seeking righteousness. It says, God, I want to be righteous. I want right living because of your mercy and grace in my life today. And so, friends, I want to encourage you. The best thing you can do when you're living out the scripture is not try to argue somebody into the kingdom. You won't do it. It's not try to make sure that we get enough laws passed that everybody will behave like a Christian, because behavior is not the issue. The Bible was never meant to bring about behavior modification. The Bible was meant to bring about life change. The Bible was meant to give us new life. Behaviors will then change. And so what I want to encourage you, really, when it comes to the scripture, if you're going to seek righteousness, the best way to do that, it's simple. It's an old hymn a lot of you will know. Let others see Jesus in you. You remember that song? I love that song. Let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Keep telling the story, be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you. Seek righteousness is about your life. It's about my life. Not worrying about everybody else today. I want to be righteous and holy before the Lord. You're in the midst of or surrounded by evil or difficulty or bad things or hard things happening. Seek righteousness. To God, I will seek to live out your commands. So seek God, seek righteousness, and then it leads to the next one, the last one, seek humility. So how do we seek humility? If you've been with us all summer, you're noticing a recurring theme. Humility shows up a lot in these minor prophets. And here's how we seek humility. Humble yourself before the Lord, value others as Jesus values them, and then see yourself as Jesus sees you. Let me say it again. Humble yourself before the Lord, value people as God values them, and then see yourself as Jesus sees you. How does Jesus see you? Well, if you know the Lord, he's not looking at you saying, what is their problem? The scripture would give us the principle and the idea that your sins have been cast as far as the east is from the west, and he remembers them no more. So what I would say to you is this: if you know the Lord, what God sees is not what you did way back there. What God sees is not what you did last week. God sees who he's making you to be. He sees who he's creating you to be and who he wants you to be and what you can step into. So I want to encourage you to see yourself that way. Now, that's not leading to pride. That's leading to humility, because you know that if God thinks of you ladies as a daughter of the king, you didn't get there on your own. And men, you know that if God thinks of you as a son of the Most High King, you surely didn't earn yourself there. It was freely given to you as you were adopted by the Messiah, by you were adopted by God himself because of the work of Jesus on the cross. And so, ladies, you are a daughter of the king. Every lady needs to say amen. Men. Come on. Men, you are a son of the Most High King. Amen? Amen? Where you go, the king goes. In Exodus, it says that every place they set their foot belonged to the Lord. That's a principle that was for the Israelites, but I believe it applies to us as well. And you need to know, if you know Jesus, you won't go anywhere today that he doesn't go. You won't go anyway where the king doesn't go. This is not about you and pride. This is about humility, saying, oh, because of the grace and mercy of God in my life, I can live as a son or daughter of the Most High God. What an incredible thought. And so we can seek God through his word. We can seek righteousness, and we can seek humility. So friends, I want you to think about which one of those you want to work on in your life or need to work on, and apply that from Zephaniah. But here's what's exciting. Zephaniah doesn't stop with that. He gives this beautiful picture of how you are to live as a believer in the midst of hard times. But then he points to a day yet to come. Listen to Zephaniah chapter 3. Zephaniah chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. He's speaking of the day of the Lord when Jesus would come, and then the day of the Lord when he will come again. He says, sing aloud, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away the judgments against you. He has cleared away your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst. You shall never again fear evil. He says this 630 years before Jesus shows up on the scene. But he says, the King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst, and he has taken away his judgments against you. So he is prophesying that Jesus was coming. And friends, here's what you need to be reminded of today. Jesus showed up, and Jesus saved, and the king was in their midst. And in your life, if you know Jesus, Jesus has shown up, Jesus has saved, and the king is in your midst. Everywhere you go, whatever you're going through, the king is in your midst. God's mercy is at work in your life, and God's mercy is at work in my life. As we were singing, I was thinking about that. When we sing, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy God's mercy. He's so faithful to deliver it continually. You're never going to be without it if you know Jesus. What a beautiful passage. Now he talks about the day when Jesus will come again. Listen to this, the next verse, verse 16. On that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not, O Zion. Let not your hands grow weak. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. I will gather those of you who mourn for the festival so that you will no longer suffer reproach. Verse 19, behold, at that time I will deal with all your oppressors, and I will save the lame. I will gather the outcast. I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. At that time I will bring you in. At that time I will gather all believers together, for I will make you renowned and praised among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your eyes, says the Lord. What an incredible thought and picture of who God is and what he does, that he heals the lame. He takes away shame. He makes us new. He lets us see his glory and be an example and a mirror and a reflection of his glory. Oh, this passage is amazing. But don't miss the character of God in verse 17. Read it one more time. This is what Jesus does for God's people. It says, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. That's why we sang Mighty to Save today, a throwback to 2020. To 2000. That's why we sang it. A mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Now, what does that say? God didn't just save you. God finds joy in you. Read it again. Read the principle of what it is telling us for believers' lives. God takes joy in bringing salvation to us. God doesn't sit around and just say, I'll save them. They sure don't deserve it by the skin of their teeth, but they better live right or I'm going to be all over them. No, God finds joy in bringing salvation to mankind. It's about Him and about His glory, but He finds joy in that. I want you to know, and this won't be a surprise, I busted out in song a minute ago. I love to sing. I sing when I wake up in the shower. I'll sing throughout the day. I'll sing in the car. If I walk into a room, I like to sing walking into a room, coming into the office, going down the hall. We're going to sing a song. I love music. Now, some of you are not that way. We are very different, you and me. I get it. It's okay. You're you, I'm me. That's fine. But the reality is, when I think about how much I love to sing, it's amazing for me to stop and think about the fact that it says God will someday sing over us with loud singing. I want you to think about how important music is. In the church, it's a weird thing. If you've never gone to church your entire life and you show up for the first time and people are singing in there, that is strange. That's very strange. In fact, that everyone stands, faces one direction, and sings out loud, that's a little bit like a musical on TV, right? I mean, people don't really understand that. But for those of us that have an understanding of who God is and what His Word says, we know that the Bible says to sing to the Lord. We know that it says to sing a new song to the Lord. We know that it says to clap your hands, O ye people, shout unto God with the voice of triumph. We know that it says to lift up holy hands in His place. The Bible goes on and on about singing with stringed instruments and musical instruments and all the things that we do. And so we get this beautiful picture that music matters to God. Why? Because it's a way that we can bring praise and glory together to Him. It unites us as we sing the same things together. Now, I know some of you are thinking, I just don't love all the songs we do. Let me say this. I'm sure when King David wrote the Psalms, we know them now, but they were new then. Someone was standing around saying, I don't like that song that King David is doing. And I want to say this to you. We are an equal opportunity offender at First Baptist Church, because if you love the hymns only, we're going to sing. We sang three modern songs this morning. If you love modern songs only, we sang two hymns this morning. We offended everybody for a minute. And here's the reality. That's just the way it's going to be. And why is that? We're going to be the best First Baptist we can be. And the reality is we're singing them to the Lord and not to anybody else anyway. And so the truth is we'll do our best to help everyone find some culture and context of how they prefer to worship. And we try hard for that. Think about it today, the songs we sang. It's a unique blend. But here's the reality. Put all that aside. Don't worry so much about whether you love a song or not. Listen, I like every kind of music. It would only make me happy if we'd add a little bluegrass up in here. And then every once in a while, some formal high church. I mean, I like it all, okay? But here's the reality. Whoever you are, what your personality is, what you're about, here's what I would encourage you to do. Set all that aside for a minute. I love that we sing songs that come straight from Scripture. I love that we give truth to it. But here's what I would say. Let's don't think about our singing at all. Think about the fact that there's a day coming when God Himself will sing loudly over you. Can you imagine? Can you begin to imagine what that is going to be like? Oh, it's going to be amazing. What's He going to sing? I don't know. I don't know what the words will be, but it'll be His story. It'll be for His glory, and it will surely be edifying and encouraging to us. I cannot wait to see for that moment. So when we think about the day that is yet to come and what God will do, I want to remind you that the Lord is going to come back. And as I said at the very beginning of the service, you may wonder how He's going to do it, when He's going to do it. Are we pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib? Are we all millennial? What are we? Listen, again, let me say it again. We're not on the programming committee. We're on the welcoming committee. And so we get to welcome God and be prepared for that. I'd love to tell you exactly how it's all going to work, but I'd probably get it wrong. So here's the reality of it. He is coming back, though. And here's what I know. I'm looking at the clock, and here's looking at the time. I don't know if God's going to return today or if Jesus will return 1,000 years from now. And nobody else really knows that in this room either. But here's what I can tell you. It is 51 minutes closer than when we started the service this morning. So time for us is flying by. So we want to make the most of our lives that we can see as many people come to know the Lord, be discipled in Him, so they too can experience Him rejoicing over them with song. They too can spend eternity with Him. It says in the book of Jude, it's just one chapter, there's a verse that says, snatch others from the flame. Our calling is to help people come to know the Lord, help them to get to know Him, to grow in Him, and be prepared to spend eternity with Him. So that's what God's called us to do. So friends, Zephaniah, though the context was for Jerusalem and the surrounding nations, the context was a day they were going to be destroyed 45 years later. The context was 600 years later, the Messiah would come. And the context is the same one we're waiting on, that Jesus will return. You can take that context and apply the principle to your life and mine. And that is this: seek God. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. And then be thankful for the day that is yet to come when He will come and make all things new. Would you bow with me for just a moment? Let others see Jesus in you. Let others see Jesus in you. Keep telling the story. Be faithful and true. Let others see Jesus in you. Would you let others see Jesus in you with your heads bowed? Would you make a renewed commitment this morning to seek God through His Word? Would you make a renewed commitment this morning to seek righteousness? That's right living. Would you make a renewed commitment this morning to seek humility? Maybe you need to come and pray about one of those things, or you want to pray for, maybe you've been struggling to see people the way Jesus sees them. You want to pray about that. Maybe the right living part, you've been dealing with the sin issue, with the habit, with the struggle, with an addiction, with the problem, with the bad attitude. I don't know. Whatever it is, it's private, you and the Lord, but maybe you want to come and pray about that and ask God to help you seek righteousness and right living. Maybe for you, though, you've been struggling in the Word of God, and today's the day. I know you've made a commitment to do it before, but listen, we're not worried about what happened yesterday or last week or the failure of the days past. It's today, fresh and new, saying, God, I'm committing to Your Word. I want Your words of life. I will read it daily. Maybe for you, though, you heard those verses that say that God is mighty to save and that He rejoices over us with singing, and you find yourself in need of God's salvation. Maybe you've never been saved and you need to be saved, or maybe you've got an issue in your life where you need the saving grace and mercy and power of God. Come and pray about that. If I can pray with you, I'll help you. You have another decision to make, come. But friends, let's be reminded that as God will rejoice over us someday with singing, until that day, He's left the singing to us. So we're going to sing that scripture again. Savior, You can move the mountains. Our God is mighty to save. We'll start with that chorus. Let this be your prayer to the Lord. You come as God directs. Father God, I pray that You would receive this praise we're about to give You in the same way that we offer it. And that is, humbly we come to You and say, thank You for saving us. Thank You for giving us new life. Help us to seek You through Your Word. Help us to seek to live righteously. Help us to seek humility by recognizing who You've created us to be and what You're doing in our lives. God, help us to live those things out. And then God, thank You that though someday You'll sing for us, for the next few moments, Father, can we sing to You? Can we sing over You? Lord, receive it, please. From us now, in Jesus' name. Let's stand together.
You've been listening to the radio ministry of Albertville's First Baptist Church. For more information, please call 256-878-2291 or visit www.albertvillefbc.org. We hope you will join us next Sunday at 9 a.m. right here on 105.1 WQSB.